Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you here with Manhattan Mayor Linda Morris and City Manager Ron Fear. We do have a Manhattan City Commission meeting tonight. We'll be at 7 o'clock in City Hall on points. And Mayor, there's a couple of consent agenda items you wanted to go through.
I do. I just wanted to point out that on this evening's agenda is phase three of the Juliet Street improvements. And so right now there's a KDOT contract that I want to point out. It's not the city's contract. It's KDOT's contract because it's been sitting there for 2 months, I think. It seems like we are doing some underground work with stormwater, and those while the street or the top is off, we're working to put some more infrastructure under there because we don't want to tear it up any for a long time to come. So so those first two blocks are under construction. We, a month or two ago, initiated a contract with KDOT to fund the next two blocks south. And now, tonight's agenda, are the remaining three blocks just north of Points. So when we get finished, the only remaining block will be the one there by the library. And I think in many ways it may be the worst. But we may have to fund that ourselves. We're not sure about KDOT with that one. But what a wonderful improvement. And when you stop and think, I just continue to make the point that Brick Street, Juliet, has lasted 100 years. And what other street do we have that has lasted that long? Now, we've made some changes at intersections and tinkered with it and had to relay a couple of spots. But overall, that street has performed beyond what anyone would have ever imagined. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think, Ron, you told me over the break, that's the brick that was brought up was the original brick.
Original, yep.
100 years ago.
So it's, and it was laid basically on a sand foundation. So that's why it's, been irregular, but also forgiving, for heavier traffic. And so we'll be utilizing most of that brick in the new pavement. There'll be a much more solid base under it, actually a concrete base under it, and therefore it'll be a much more transitional type unit, but the brick should last for quite a much longer time, and we may have some additional brick. One of the things we have been doing historically at the intersection is because where the brick gives way is where you have that constant start and stop. So especially that braking action puts more pressure on that particular section of pavement would be true with anything. But drainage is also an issue that we haven't had. The old Ward streets don't, most of them originally didn't have any buried storm sewer. The streets were the drainage conveyance basically from west to east for the most part. And so you have all the dips that go along those north-south streets. And so what we've been trying to do is upgrade those intersections, putting in some stormwater systems, and then trying to get rid of some of those dips and going back with concrete in the intersections, just because they'll take that start and stop traffic better and gives us some extra bricks to use to replace some that are broken and can't be reutilized.
So some of the old brick will be put back in?
Yes. For the most part, we anticipate nearly all of it unless you've got broken pieces, and that's we'll have extra brick from the intersection work, which we can substitute for it.
And we were talking about this a little bit over break, just kind of as Manhattan grows, we're probably going to see a little bit more and more of this as a lot of roads that weren't originally designed for some of the traffic it sees now as different parts of town grow, so people are taking different ways to get to or more main ways to get to different parts of town. So it might be something we just see a little bit more of in the future.
I think definitely as we do various maintenance, certainly some streets are that way today, where maybe we've taken parking off one side of the street, which makes it a little safer, but it also increases the speeds. So those are some things that we certainly have to monitor over time as well. But where we have roads that we want to share the road with bicycle traffic and that sort of thing, those are some things that gives us some space to do that as we make some of those maintenance improvements over time.
I think especially if you think about the growth of downtown and that whole kind of corridor there with the Flint Hills Discovery Center and that kind of whole area, it seems like like there's a lot more traffic between all the streets in between Bluemont and Points, basically.
Right.
Seems like they're getting a lot more traffic than they probably used to.
And certainly 4th Street was designed to help be that collector and feed that traffic basically from Bluemont all the way to Fort Riley Boulevard.
Brady Bowman here with Manhattan Mayor Linda Morse and City Manager Ron Fear. If you want to call in, ask any questions you might have on your mind, get involved in the conversation, 785-537-1350 is the number to call. You could also shoot us a tweet if that's your thing at 1350KMAN. You could also tweet myself at Brady2Day, two being the numeral, and there were some other consent agenda items today that I think you
there are.
Both of you want to go over a little bit.
Sure. A few more items on the consent agenda. There's a item to vacate a portion of South 15th Street, and actually this will involve a public hearing. This is a section of undeveloped right-of-way on the south side of the levee and the tracks and the Union Pacific Railroad tracks. And so there's been some development adjacent to this particular area, and that landowner is requesting that right-of-way be vacated. So when that happens, it reverts back to the property owners on either side, and they can utilize it based on existing zoning and other provisions. And so there are utilities within this easement, though, and so the utility companies are recommending that we retain an easement for those utilities, and so that is there. Again, there is no actual street there. It's just the right-of-way for the street, and that's what's being requested to be vacated, and city administration does recommend approval. Another item is a resolution to grant myself as city manager or someone I designate as a keeper of records, which is typically the city clerk, to amend our city record retention and disposition schedule. We've looked at, had a committee that's been working on this for quite a period of time, and the state statutes really govern what we're required to keep as a record, court records, official action of the city commission, just a number of things. And then there's new records, such as social media records, and anything that we put out there in social media now that we're required to retain as well. So storage becomes an issue, and how best we do that, whether it's a digital storage or a hard paper storage, or you convert old hard paper to digital files. So lots of issues there. And
we're
basically Facebook posts, depending on the nature of it, would potentially require to be retained.
Or a city tweet.
Could be, depending on the nature of the particular document. So something that obviously is new to us, and more volume, you know, in our quest to be more responsive over a number of variety of media. It also puts more requirements on us, so for records retention. So those are some basic best practices. The League of Kansas Municipalities has recommendations, and these are all in line with that particular aspect. We also have a request from United Housing Partners seeking the city's support for a tax credit application that they'll make with the state of Kansas. This is to provide up to 48 units of targeted low and moderate income for senior housing, 55 and older. And this would be up in the Ledgestone Ridge Unit 2 area off of Lee Mill Parkway, or Miller Parkway, there just to the east of Scenic Drive. This particular company has an existing senior unit that it's developed in that area, and they're wanting to do that some more. I think they're proposing about 29 two-bedroom units and 19 one-bedroom unit. Again, most of these would be rent based on income for low and moderate income persons at 60%, targeting 60% below the area median income. The another item is we're getting ready to issue some general obligation bonds for special assessments for primarily residential subdivision work. There's about $11.8 million in special assessment bonds to be levied, and this starts the process for doing that, establishing February 6th as a public hearing to start that process. Of that, almost all of that is assessed to the developing properties. There is about about $387,000 in city at large expenses, some for wider streets and some for utility work.
We do have a phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the comments about the trash ordinances. What brought this on? Why is it such a big issue? And secondly, what business does the commission have in including an increased insurance for trash haulers?
So this is an item that there's two different areas. One, when we were really exploring the safety of construction containers that different a few companies are in the business of providing to builders that establish them. If they're going to place those on the street right-of-way versus in the yard, for example, if they're going to place them in the street right-of-way, it will require them to put safety marking, reflective tape, safety marking, so that, you know, it's kind of something when you're driving down the street at night, you don't necessarily expect to encounter these large trash dumpsters for construction containers. We're not, and they have to be, it only applies to those being placed in the right of way, also requires them to place, you know, the owner's name and contact information and that sort of thing. On the trash haulers, it's in the same ordinance, is just simply looking at increasing the insurance requirements to operate to be consistent with what the city charges other licensees and different businesses for those similar type of operations, construction operations.
Well, doesn't the trash hauler have his own responsibility to get insurance?
He may, but we do license trash haulers, commercial trash haulers in the city, and this would require them to have one of the things that the city requires to ensure that those contractors have insurance, proof of insurance. And so if there were a situation that a resident can expect that somebody that is providing services, business services in the community, would have that type of coverage.
I mean, who decides what the coverage is?
So it sets minimums. That's pretty common in the situation, that there's best practices for what a minimum coverage would be, you know, whether it's on your driver's license or, your property registration for a vehicle, there's minimum coverage required by the government.
By the government, but not by the trash hauler.
Well, typically, you know, I would suspect that most coverage is higher than what the government requires.
All right, thank you, caller, for that call. We're due for a break, and of course, Ron, I'm sure there's just a lot of liability issues too. That's a lot of the motivation for those sort of things.
Certainly.
Let's go ahead and take that break. We'll come back and finish things up here on In Focus on this Tuesday. More with Manhattan Mayor Linda Morris and City Manager Ron Fear right here on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing.